It's a pleasure to be able to share some thoughts with you tonight. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure that I was going to take up this offer when Ari Brandt Spiegel asked me last week. I wasn't sure if I had what to share, if I had time to prepare. But right after I was asked to speak here, I was actually asked to speak at the Little Kids Parsha Shir on Shabbos morning. So I figured, all right, once I'm ready to prepare for that, might as well double dip a little bit. Hopefully there wouldn't be any repeat. Doesn't look like they're here. There you go. Never know. Security guard probably wouldn't let him in. Okay. So traditionally, around the end of November, as conversation heats up about among YU guys about what their plans are for winter break, a YBH lunch is held. And at this lunch is featured the slightly paradoxical, but certainly unstoppable combination of Rav Tversky and pizza. And at this lunch, Rav Tversky would so beautifully discuss, I think sometimes with Khan as well, equally paradoxical with pizza, but when at this lunch, they would discuss so beautifully the value of dedicating our break to Talmud Torah and the impact that this dedication can have on their development. And obviously, given the tumultuous nature of this past year, no such lunch occurred, but I do think it's important that the topic be addressed. And obviously it goes without saying that I clearly fall short on both accounts. My thoughts and insights will be nowhere near those of the first year of Khan. And although I do make a mean matzah pizza, my chametzik version pales in comparison to Lake Como. So I apologize, I can't contribute in that regard. But nevertheless, I do think that it's valuable for us to have a perspective on the weeks ahead of us so that we can crystallize our goals and quantify and appreciate our successes for the weeks ahead of us, this opportune time. So I want to discuss with you two distinct perspectives on the avoda of YBH and how that avoda relates to the upcoming semester. So the Emes Liakov, Parsha Shemos, asks a very basic question. Over the course of Moshe Rabbeinu's conversations with Paro, he repeatedly asks Paro to let Bnei Yisrael leave Mitzrayim for 3 days to Shech Karbanos HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Gilavot Elohim and then return to Mitzrayim. And the obvious question is, we all know the ending. We all know that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim for good. So what was Moshe Rabbeinu really asking? Was he trying to pull a fast one on Paro? Like, yeah, 3 days, we're going, and then bam? The sense of Yaakov Kaneski, no. Initially, the plan was for Bnei Yisrael to leave for only 3 days. The reason is as follows. We know that Bnei Yisrael were only in the time for 210 years. But the initial plan was for them to be there for 400 years, mamash, in Mitzrayim. And given the fact that we are going to be in Mitzrayim for so many more years, 191 years from that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized, Klal Yisrael are really suffering from the Shibbutz. They're really downtrodden. They need a chizuk. So you know what? Moshe, I want you to tell Paro that we want to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim for 3 days. We're going to farbrain. We're going to have shiurim. It's going to be geshmak. We're going to shech karbanos. And then Klal Yisrael will have that chizuk. And then they'll go back to Mitzrayim. And they'll deal with the next 191 years of slavery. That was the original plan, says Rav Yaakov. What happened? Paro said no. And because Paro said no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to rework the plan. Because Rav realized, I have to take them out for good. So he was marveled, he increased the intensity of the Shibbutz so that the 191 years remaining were experienced and felt in the next 6 months. So that's one way to look at YBH. That we had a grueling first semester and we have a really rough second semester coming up. So you can look at YBH as 2 weeks of pure Talmud Torah, of chizuk, and hopefully those 2 weeks, that what I'll gain from those 2 weeks, that'll somehow get me to the arduous semester ahead. 2 weeks of learning the Menuchas HaNefesh, that's what I need right now, because it's not going to come after that. So it's not a very pleasant perspective on the semester. And more importantly, I think that it's built upon a faulty understanding of what it means to learn with Menuchas HaNefesh. Any YU guy who learned in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael reflects so nostalgically upon those years. He was able to learn, to daven, and to grow in a setting of complete tranquility. His biggest worries were whether he should shower this week, So do you eat the rubbish he bought for his Shabbos host and give them flowers instead? Or is he going to sit next to his basher on the plane ride home? And then he comes back to IU, and he's greeted by a two-month stretch of midterm. And just when he thinks it's over, and he looks forward to having a little time to breathe, he gets an email in his inbox from his teacher about his final next week. And at that moment, he just wished he could press a reset button, return to yeshiva, to that state of menuchas hanachas. For Rabbi Ruchel Mavavitz, the Mashgiach of Beer Poland, in Parshas Vayechi, points out that we make a fundamental mistake in assuming that true menuchas hanachas is achieved by limiting distractions and stressors as much as possible. We think that if we essentially put our life on do not disturb mode, then we'll experience true menuchas hanachas. But in fact, says Yerucham, it has the exact opposite effect. Let's imagine a pre-med student studying for his MCAT. He has his study routine down to a science. He brews up his curry with his favorite flavor, French vanilla. He sets the thermostat to 72 degrees. He puts on his noise-canceling earphones. And he's knee-deep in organic chemistry before you can say ribonucleic acid. And he studies Bahasmada for hours. Until one day, the AC shorts, and it's a scorching 74 degrees in his room. And he can't focus. He keeps fidgeting his chair, he's sweating bullets. Nothing's going. And to make matters worse, the noise-canceling feature on his headphones breaks. So not only is he boiling hot, but the faint sounds of his neighbor playing basketball rattles his brain as if someone were jackhammering in his eardrum, and he could barely get through a paragraph of his textbook. He's feeling a bit tired. He figures a cup of his favorite coffee will snap him out. But alas, there's no more French vanilla, only regular vanilla. And he's crushed. He doesn't know what to do. Maybe he should just forget about med school. Studying is too grueling. Menuchas HaNefesh, that is achieved under the perfect circumstances, will not have any continuity. It will have no key. Because the second that conditions change, you'll be completely flustered and you won't be able to adapt. Rabbi Ruchem says that the key to a lasting sense of Menuchas HaNefesh is by conditioning ourselves to remain focused regardless of the elements, no matter what is going on around us. To not be dependent upon our environment to provide tranquility, but to find tranquility within ourselves despite our surroundings. He gives a mashal, beautiful mashal, to a soldier training for battle. If his training would be conducted in the perfect weather, optimal conditions, minimal obstacles, the second he gets onto the battlefield and it's raining and he's carrying a heavy backpack and he gets some mud on his new boots, he's going to surrender because he's not accustomed to fighting in anything less than idyllic conditions. So how are soldiers trained? The soldiers are subjected to the harshest conditions, carry the heaviest loads over the roughest terrain. And through that, they learn to stay focused and to fight regardless of their surroundings. And with this, Rabbi Yochum explains, why was Torah given in the Midbar? Fresh Baruch should have waited until they got to Eretz Yisrael. They built their houses. They were comfortable. Why did he give it to them when they were in the Midbar? They were taken from place to place, wandering. They had no place to call home. There was no Menuchas HaNefesh. Why was Torah given in the Midbar? Does Rabbi Yochum know? Fuck cares. The ultimate in Menuchas HaNefesh is being able to focus in a Midbar when you don't have any creature comfort, to rise above the situation, to rise above the obstacle. It will be so much easier to learn in Rehavia than it will in the Midbar. No. True Kabbalah Satorah is independent of your surroundings, disregards what's going on around. Ruchim says, the Pasuk by Yisachar, Yaakov's bracha to Yisachar. Yisachar is the Amar HaTorah, the Sheva that's committed to Talmud Torah. Very interesting. The pasuk says, "Vayar menucha ki tov." Yisachar appreciates menucha. It's tov. He appreciates. That's the aretz ki na'ima. Vayet shech mo lisbo. He bends down to bear a burden. If Yisachar is looking for menucha, then why is he bearing a burden? Says Yerucham, because that's really where menucha comes from. If we were able to bear a burden and focus nonetheless, menucha is a nefesh is achieved by one who bears the various burdens of life and remains focused on the task at hand. So, chevra, we have a tremendous avoda ahead of us in the coming semester. The conditions of the semester at YU, during COVID especially, are far from idyllic. We have assignments, exams, summer internship applications. Will they even have summer internships? Career decisions, what will the job market look like? Many of you may be dating, starting to date. Where can I go if there's no indoor dining and it's 30 degrees outside? Who knows what she's hiding under that mask? At least I didn't have to shave, you know, if you get a big enough mask. There's a laundry list of the important pursuits that you'll be involved in that can just pop into your mind during a Shemona Esrei or a night sit and distract you from your objective. Just a few years ago in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't have that. Nothing was popping into your mind during Shemona Esrei and during night sit. But this is where you are. This is what you have in your place. And chevra, I can guarantee that Be'ezus Hashem, as life progresses and the brachos in your life increase to include a wife, children, parnasa, that the list of distractions will grow exponentially. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, and knowing so many of you here, I know that you will accept it and you will be really matzliach. Your mission is to condition yourself to remain focused on your goals in Talmud Torah, in tefillah, in personal growth, despite the adversity, the stress, and the tear drops. Like that soldier in the trenches, shaking off whatever impediments or obstacles are thrown his way and remaining fixated on his objective. And if you're matzliach this semester, you'll be fully equipped to maintain menuchas and nefesh going forward in life, no matter how many other responsibilities you assume, regardless of how long your list gets. But there's a necessary prerequisite to achieving this constant, relentless focus. You must possess a burning desire to fulfill your objective. Only someone who is so passionate about his mission will be willing to endure and overcome so much adversity to achieve it. And this is the avoda of YBA. It's a time to be ma'or within ourselves in Ahavas Torah, experiencing the beauty, the sweetness of Torah, invest in our Yediyos Torah by chazaring and taking the b'chinos, the rabbi paid me $20 to say that, to hear from Gedolei Torah, our Rebbe, to work on your Night Seder Sefer article, another $40 from our rabbi, and naming rights, by the way. I'm either going to call it Kol Yaakov or Kovid Rosh. I mentioned that on the Night Seder week. But chazar, if we do this, if we utilize this time and motivate ourselves to commit to a semester of Amelus B'Torah, regardless of the distractions thrown our way, we're going to be matzliach. We will. Pasha. And so, YBH is in a 2-week escape from a grueling year. It's a 2-week investment that will shape the rest of your zman. And this is equally true for those of you who aren't at home, who aren't here and are at home. Use this time to learn what you enjoy, to get yourself excited about Torah, investing in Torah. And these yisodos extend far beyond the YU academic calendar. They're relevant to every stage of life. We always have to be prepared to be steadfast in our avoda, no matter what comes our way. But to do so requires that we have pockets of immersion in Talmud Torah and in Ruchni. This, of course, is the relation between Shabbos and Sheshit Yemei Maaseh. On Shabbos, we focus solely on the Inyanei Kedusha and carry that focus with us into the week ahead, where we'll be filled with mundane challenges and pursuits. That's why I think we should try to take advantage of the coming semester to stay in for Shabbos, be able to refocus, So that way we come into the week fully charged and ready to barrel over whatever distractions pop into our head. And I also think that this is why it's so important to consider taking some time off after college to learn full time before beginning to work. To make Torah a part of your life in a way that even once you're working, it will be so central to your identity. It'll be in the front of your consciousness. You'll never be able to forget it, and it'll always be with you. However, that's the recipe. That's the recipe. It's not easy, but it's possible. And if we just work day by day to bring ourselves, to condition ourselves, to remain focused despite what's going on, if in a situation, if we slowly accustom ourselves, as our list grows, so will our capacity to ignore the list and to remain focused on the objective, like that soldier. And with that, Be'ez Hashem will be Matzliach and live a life of Ruach Sunday. God, Be'ez Hashem, it should be an amazing YBH, and look forward to seeing you around. Good.